Just a footnote, it's a week from, we're 1 week away, aren't we, from kids camp? Youth camp, that's what I meant. We're 1 week away from youth camp. We've done something this year we've never done. Instead of our kids going to youth camp in Montana or wherever, we have prepared a youth camp on the St. Mary's River. And our kids are going to spend a week there. We have a guest speaker coming in, and we are going to have a great, great time. Would you be praying for the youth camp, that God will meet the kids? And the second thing is, if you have influence over teenagers that could encourage them to go if they're not planning to go, would you see to it that they say yes? Say yes. That's what you have them do. They say yes. And we encourage you to do so. I think the youth camp will be amazing. And I don't think I ever went to a camp that's been on a river or not before, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You going to be in the water? Huh? Are you going to be in the water? Are you floating, fishing, diving, all the above probably? Okay. That ought to be fun. But it's going to be a great, great week. So please keep that in mind. And if your children have not, your kids have not signed up, see Katie. Katie, wave again so they know who you are, our youth pastor there. All right?
You can support that financially, too, if you're so moved on your heart.
Yeah, I agree with that. How many agree with that?
Yeah.
Me, too. So that would be a wonderful way to support ministry as well. I'm going to go back. I think I'm using double microphones here. Sorry, you guys. I want to tell you something that I told you about 2 months ago. I told you that there were some ministries that I've done in the last few years that I felt like I wanted to come back and revisit a little bit. And so this morning is one of them. And I want to revisit this ministry and be able to share the word that I feel like God has for today. Before I do that, though, I'd like to ask, how many Tennesseans do we have here? One, two, three. Is that all? No other Tennesseans? How many were here last week? You know what I'm talking about. It is impressive to me to see what the legislature in Tennessee has done. This is probably at about week three for them, so there will be one more week. What they did was they felt so led. Several of the legislature in Tennessee felt so led that they actually worked with the legislatures throughout the Senate and their legislature of Tennessee, and they actually brought it to a vote. And they voted. They said, we believe that our state needs to seek God, and we need to pray, and we need to fast. And we need to seek God for the needs that are in our state, for the things that are out of control, and also for our nation. And so they put it to a vote in the legislature, and the legislature, I think, was something like 82-6, 82-4, and 6 against. And the Senate was huge. I think it was like maybe only 2 against out of the entire Senate. They took it to the governor, and they said, Governor, this is what we have voted. And we want to ask our state to join us in prayer and fasting for 30 days that God will move and transform Tennessee. And the governor was so impressed by what he saw that he signed it. And for the last 22 days, today is day 22, for the last 22 days, Tennessee has been praying and fasting for their state. I think it's impressive. I just do. I'm not a kind of a, you know, this weak idea of a Christian. Oh, I don't know if that's right. You know what? That's God's way. You know what? It's God speaking, and I think he's doing a great work. Isn't that awesome? Yes. I think of what Esther, we just saw, what Esther said to Mordecai. She said, if you will, she said, I'm going to pray and fast for 3 days, and you tell all of the people, all of the Jews of Shushan, to fast and pray with me for 3 days. Eat nothing, drink nothing, and seek the face of God. And she says, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to go in, and I will go before the king on behalf of my people. The fasting that they did in Tennessee and they're doing now was called intermittent or something like that. I actually didn't look the word up, but I think what it was referring to was partial. And they were saying that in Tennessee, you fast partial if you'd like. Nothing, there is no law to the work of fasting. It's holding back and withholding from those things that are of pleasure or foods or things that we would hold. And then you couple it with prayer, seeking God, and it's amazing what can happen. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you are addicted to Mountain Dew and Pepsi and Dr. Pepper, just, you know what? Get rid of everything but Dr. Pepper if you have to, and use that as your... But just believe God that part of your fasting, God is honoring. Something happens, and I told you this not to go back and bore you with something I said last week, but the amazing thing is the Hebrew word for fasting, it means to cover your mouth. And what it means to limit the intake to where when we fast, we are actually saying our body is fasting with our heart and our mouth, and our soul, and we're seeking God for the need that we're crying out to Him for. And God seems to be able to take the very thing where sin started. How many know where sin started? Seems that it started when she took our foremother, and she took and she bit of a forbidden fruit, and when she took that, she gave it to her husband, and Adam, I can't understand, but Adam took it and he ate from it, and instantly their eyes were open. You remember that in Genesis? And I'm sharing with you this morning to remember that God has this amazing sense of humor. He says, where you lost your abilities and you lost even the ability and the power to be in control of the earth that I gave you, and you gave it away to darkness, He says, I've got this amazing plan. If you will cover the very area that you sinned and you took of the forbidden fruit, I will do something amazing. And through fasting and through the spirit of prayer, I am going to answer the cry of your heart and do miracle after miracle after miracle. Amen? They said to Jesus' disciples, he says, how come? And then they came to Jesus and they said, why are your disciples? Why do they not fast like John's? And Jesus said, as long as the bridegroom is with them, they don't have any need to fast. But when I'm taken away, he says, they will fast. And it wasn't a suggestion. And so I'm just saying, I know how you feel. I'm an American, and I know how you feel. It's not fun to do some of these things. I'd rather have my freedom, my liberty, go where I want, restaurants I want, do what I want. You know what? Avoid the prayer time how did I bring this new prayer time into my life? I would rather do all those things in a natural sense. But when I submit my flesh and I say no, because I recognize that God, you have a work to do. You literally want to take and show the light of the gospel to a state like Tennessee. You want to change what is happening. I think we can do this together. How many of you say amen? Amen. So I asked you last week, would you join the last 2 weeks with Tennessee? That's what I called you a Tennessean for. And I just wanted to remind you the things that they're praying for. This is what they're praying for. They're praying that the state in their nation that is suffering in areas of violence, God will heal. Where human trafficking is being brought in and going across the borders into Tennessee, enslaving lives and violating the core principle of what God created and endowed, the human life and the right of liberty and pursuit, they're praying against it. They're praying against drug addiction, overwhelming drug addiction. They're praying against the deadly fentanyl and uncontrollable fentanyl that's going across their borders. They're praying against literally the area of children where they say approximately 9,000 children are in need of foster care. Therefore, because of that, they're saying the houses and homes, families are broken. And it's kind of on and on and on. And they're saying that the founders of our nation believed in an omnipotent God who would provide and would say that He's the God that will decree that He would heal their land if they turn to Him. And they said, Lord, we're going to do that. And that's what they did. You say to me, Pastor, I heard you last week talk about this. I hope so. And I hope that this week, if you haven't done any fasting or praying, would you just say, Lord, I can do it. and join us. And this last week, this is day 22. How many days are in this month?
31.
So we have what? We have 9 days left to seek the Lord, to ask Him. I just want to tell you this. Donna and I, fasting, we're just kind of individually doing our own areas of fasting as we feel we need to. But we've been praying together. And Donna and I, we have had some amazing moments of prayer together, praying. And we're just imagining what prayer could be like in Tennessee. And we've been praying for Idaho. And we've been praying for our government and for our education. And we're praying for the judicial system. And we're praying for our universities. And we're praying. We've been praying for the ingress and egress into our state, where the roads and the metro and the interstates come into our state at various levels. And we've been praying against darkness and fentanyl and for drugs and wickedness to come in and things to go out with evil. We've been believing God, and boy, I'll tell you, God's been granting us. We've been having a marvelous time. So we're praying together. Jesus said, if even two or three would agree, it's touching anything. So the two of us, amen? Would you pray? Would you pray? And you don't have to fast 3 days. You don't have to even pass large areas of fasting. But just begin to choose areas where you can fast and believe God to see great miracles. Amen? Thank you. Well, wouldn't you rather have had me say that than me preach a second sermon on it? I want to read to you from the book of Matthew. I will use this microphone in a minute, Jerry, the other one too as well. So I have some things here I want to take care of. In Matthew chapter, did I say 26 to you? All right. You won't believe this, but I really meant 27. In chapter 27, Jesus is delivered, bound to Pilate. In chapter 27, Judas hangs himself. Not just because he thinks he'd done a few things wrong, but deep within, I think, the remorse of knowing that he had become a traitor and he should never have done what he did. Christ will be mocked in this chapter. He will be reviled and he will be crucified in this chapter. But what I want to read to you is something that I think is very interesting. It begins in verse 19. It says this. It says, when he was set down at the judgment seat. Now this is Pilate. This is the governor. His wife sent unto him and said to him, have nothing to do with this just man. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. I mean, stop in verse 19 and just think what she's saying. She's not saying, in my mind as I was, you know, peeling potatoes and I was working in my kitchen. She says, in my dreams, I have suffered many things of this man. It doesn't say in Scripture she had ever really met Jesus. It doesn't say she'd ever had a personal contact with him, but there was something that she must have heard. She must have had some sort of an inclination that these people that were flocking to him and filling the Galilean hillsides, and people were being healed and delivered and set free. There must be something to the story. And I love it because in the Middle East, as I'm speaking right now, many that are in Arabic-speaking countries, God has been showing them literal visions of the Christ. And they go to bed at night and they wake up the next morning and they have had a vision of Jesus. And they realize, and maybe he has spoken to them to come to him and to believe me and to believe, and showing them even the nail prints in his hands. And you thinking, well, can that really be? I think so. Especially for nations that literally have closed their door to the gospel and want nothing to do with the power of the gospel. Jesus is not willing that any would perish. How many believe that? He's not. Verse 20, but the chief priests and elders persuaded. Now that's interesting, because they are now persuading, they are actually working against his wife. And they persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Verse 21, and the governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will you that I release to you? In other words, he says, I have a choice. And I'll give you a choice. I'm going to call you to a decision this morning. You have a choice. And what, let me add to it, you will accept one and you will rebuke another and not accept the other. You have a choice. 22, and Pilate said to them, what shall I do then with Jesus? Let me go back to verse 21. And the governor answered and said to them, whither of the twain do I release to you? And they said, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And Pilate said to them, what shall I do then with Jesus? That is an amazing, amazing question. And this is kind of part of what I don't know how long ago it was, but I felt like there are some things I still want to come back and rehearse before you. I want you to hear it somewhat again. And the Holy Spirit, no doubt through me, will speak to you things that were not the same before. I want you to understand this morning that Pilate and this Judean crowd, as they assembled on this fateful day, they were now dealing with what I think is probably the greatest question given to man. Now, I don't know. I think that every person in St. Mary's, all nearly 3,000 of us here in the area of St. Mary's, we're dealt with this morning, what will we do with this question? And what is the question? The question is, what will we do with Jesus? And I believe that every one of us must respond personally to this question. Please look this way. Every one of us must respond to this question. You can't like a shovel, you can't throw it over your shoulder and give it to somebody in the row behind you. You have to respond to this question because it is real. It is the most important question, I think, given to man. And when I consider what must I do to Jesus, with Jesus, this is what Pilate is saying. Isn't that odd? That he was the most powerful man in the city of Jerusalem and in Judea, and yet he is forcing himself to have to ask a question, what am I going to do with him? You and I, some of us, can go back to days of conversion, and we can go back to whether we were saved at an altar or kneeling at a chair in church, whether we were saved in our home, kneeling in our bedroom, wherever we were, we have to go back to those moments. Aren't they amazing moments? The day that we made that decision, we will take and we will do something very real here. We will not reject, but we will accept Christ. Think about it. I mean, can you think of a greater question? And all of eternity, like my finger, all of eternity pivots on what you do with that question. That's pretty amazing. Thank God for his mercy that he withholds from you and I what we deserve when we're dealing with that question. And thank God for his grace, unmerited favor that he gives to us to be able to come and say, Lord, my eyes have been opened. Listen, I don't know what you think happens to a person when they come to Christ. But I want to tell you exactly what happens is that their eyes are opened. Their eyes spiritually, for the first time maybe in their life, their eyes are opened and they are able to see the Savior. They're able to see Christ, he who sits upon the throne, who now will become their mediator as the mediator he is between God and man. Wow, isn't that amazing? My Dawn and I, we tease each other about seeing all the time. I tell her, I said, honey, you are gorgeous. You are a beautiful woman. Donna, stay here. Don't leave. Stay right where you're at. And I tell her, I said, sweetheart, you are so gorgeous. And she looks at me and she says, you need to get your eyes fixed. I got to get you over there to the eye place in Coeur d'Alene and get you to get your eyes fixed. You can't see a lick. And I tell her, I can see. I can see. And I said, I can see beauty when I know what beauty is when I see it. Honey, that's helping me for lunch today. But every word was true. It was yea and amen to we that believe. Why are you looking at me with those tone of eyes? What will I do with Jesus? Everyone must respond to this personal question. In fact, I would like to suggest this morning that we were born to answer that question. You were not born to answer the question, where will you live when you're 20? Where will you live when you're 40? Where will you live when you're 65? That's not the question you were born for. You were born for this question. And it's the same question that Pilate said to them. What shall I do then with Jesus that is called the Christ? Think about this. He gave him his full title. What will I do to Jesus, who in Hebrew, his name would mean Yeshua, Adonai, it would mean Savior. What will I do with the Savior, and the Christ, the anointed one of God, Messiah? What do you do with the Savior? What do you do with the anointed Messiah? That's the powerful question. And when I say to you this morning, I think it's the most vital question. It is the question that you and I were born to answer. I think it leads us to this. If we can answer it properly one day, you will recognize this, that every knee that shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus, you are Lord, and he will say unto you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in, for your knee bowed already and your tongue already previously confessed that I am the Savior and I am the anointed one. But there are also others, and these others will have this moment in their life. They will not hear, enter in, thou good and faithful servant, but they will hear something more like, depart from me, for I never knew you. It doesn't have to be a paragraph. All it has to have is the absolute authority of the Christ. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Church, this morning, this is a powerful subject that's not very long. And it wasn't created to be long. It was created only to say this in verse 22. What shall I do with Jesus? It was created to say to you, this is an inescapable question. But you must answer it, and nobody else can answer it for you. You were born for this question, and you were created to love the one that will come in and reside with you the rest of your life. Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I think this is life's most vital issue. Everything depends, listen to me, everything depends upon your answer. This is what you can do. I've been in church a long time, being saved as a teenager. I've been in church a long time. And I can tell you there are a lot of people that, please look this way, there are a lot of people that do this every Sunday, Sunday in and Sunday out. They go in and they leave the same way they came. They do not deal with the issue. They don't deal with this question. They do not in any way begin to recognize how everything depends upon making a true decision. And they don't have any idea how crucial this really is, because they need to come to this fact. As long as I come in and I go out and I don't deal with it, I have never come to this fact that Jesus Christ, who is Lord, is no longer Lord and cannot be Lord of my life until I welcome him as Lord. Right. You know what? As your pastor today, I got to tell you, don't wait for tomorrow. what story Leonard just told of the man in the hospital. They prayed for him, and the next day he was in eternity. Eternity is, I don't know, how do you describe eternity? There's no back door. There's no cul-de-sac. There's no reward, no going out another side door. What do they call those things now everywhere where you come in and you get locked in that and you go around and around in your car? Now, I can't hear. What'd you say?
Roundabouts.
There's no roundabouts with exits. In Matthew, Jesus said that hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Do you know that? You are an intruder to darkness and hell. Should you reject this most powerful question, your life depends on how you respond to Jesus as being Lord. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another day. Amen? I'm going to turn my... as a pastor, I love to see people saved. I would love to see, by say fall, wouldn't it be amazing by fall, literally, that we couldn't fill the church with chairs enough? We had to figure out another way. Double service, maybe. I don't know. And these people were not transferred growth, but the people coming in are born again by the power of the Spirit. And they've answered the question, what do I do with Jesus? I believe that he is the Son of God. He came to die and give his life a ransom. Like a lamb, he shed his blood, that his blood could wash our sins away. And if I believe that, I shall be saved. Amen? So, this morning, I want to let you be part of something. I've been talking to a young couple. And as I've been talking to this young couple a little bit, I had the privilege of just sharing with them and talking to them. And so about 2 weeks ago, I just asked about Jesus. And I won't go any further with that part. But I asked about Jesus. And as I did that, Elena responded to me. And she said, well, I said, Elena, I want you to know that Jesus loves you with everything in your heart, in his heart to you. He loves you with all his heart. And she looked at me and she said, Pastor, I know. And she was crying, weren't you? And finally she didn't rebuke me, but she finally said, I can't keep talking about this, Pastor. Because all I'm doing is wiping my eyes. Tears are everywhere. And I said, I understand. Come up here, you guys. Elena, I need you to be right next to me. Yeah. Elena and Logan. And they came back the next week to my office on Wednesday night after church. And I had really encouraged Elena. I said, Elena, I said, Jesus loves you. You've just got to do this. Don't be afraid to give your life to Christ. I know that Cameron has been praying for her. I think there's maybe several of you. I'm not sure. I'm afraid to go too far. I'll miss somebody. You've been just encouraging her. So I'm not going to go any further with this. But I said to her, I said, so tell me now, how's things going with you and Jesus? Have you come to him? Or have you shared? Have you given him a lot? So Elena, let me not take and steal the thunder. You just be up front and tell us everything that's going on with you. Will you do that?
I wrote it down, and I put it in the pickup, so I have to go grab it.
You put it in the pickup?
Yeah.
Well, get out of here and go get it. All right, go get it. Go get it. Faster. Well, now I have you up here. What am I going to do with you, Logan?
Now the question is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ?
So what have you done with Jesus?
I've given my life to him. I talk to him every day. I put my whole trust and my whole heart into him. Every night that I pray, I wake up the next morning and there's a prayer answered without fail.
Praise God.
So would you say there's been change in your life?
Oh, yeah. A lot of change.
Good.
From addiction to heartbreak to hopelessness, it's all gone.
Wow.
It's all gone.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Wow. Wow. So if that's true, then what has it done to you now? What's going on in you now personally?
Personally, I just want to see others saved. Really, it's a major prayer of mine, especially when I leave church and I see people walking down the sidewalk. And just the sadness comes over me, you know, or these people that drive by in their really fancy vehicles with all their toys and stuff, because I know that they weren't thinking about God. Otherwise, you know, I mean, I don't know that. That's just an assumption. But my hope is that they did, and my hope is that they find Christ.
Man, I love this guy. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. So it appears to me, though, it appears to me that you had to come to that place where you said, what will I do with Jesus? You came to that place, didn't you?
Absolutely.
And so, just in a nutshell, what did you do with Jesus?
I accepted him.
And let him become Lord?
Lord and Savior.
That's awesome. All right. Come back here, Elena.
All right. That was fast. Were you in track in school or what?
Can I get one of these things?
You may. You may. I want to put you right in the middle so everybody can see you.
Thank you, Pastor.
And you have to hold, see where the mic is for me, almost touching my chin.
Okay.
Got to be that close.
Okay. So I've been coming to this church for roughly 4 months now. And I've been to many churches and youth groups on my own when I was younger. But once I hit teenage years, I was drawn away and pushed myself into drugs and alcohol really harshly for about 7 years. I gained full anxiety and depression that wouldn't stop. I lost myself, my personality, my hobbies, self-love, and more. And now at 19, I met Logan and was introduced to Pastor Lynn. Since then, I've had experiences with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. One day, I was crying and upset out of nowhere, so I tried to distract myself. But Logan came up to me and hugged me. I began feeling an overwhelming joy and cried happily. I felt healing. I believe the Lord came to me through him to help me and show me what God can do and that he's real. My anger, anxiety, and anxiety went away that day. Logan told me to never forget that feeling, and I can't. Recently, Logan and I met with Pastor Lynn to see if he will marry us. We got to talking about it, and Pastor said, Logan is a Christian and has given himself to God. And I can't remember exactly what Pastor said to me, but it was along the lines of, listen to this with an open mind. I think you should give yourself to the Lord before marrying Logan. And I knew what he meant and what I've been fighting within myself. After this, Logan brought me home, and I cried and prayed for about 4 hours. I asked God to be my Savior and change my life how he wants it. I confessed my sins and begged for forgiveness and his love. The next day, Logan and I talked about it. He said, you did it. Now just have faith and since then I know I have been saved. I thank the Lord every night. And now I want to thank Logan and Pastor Lynn for guiding me back to the Lord as an adult. Thank you guys. See, I still have a little bit more. Okay. I forgot where I was. Oh, okay. Thank you guys, and thanks to the others in this church and the some I haven't met yet. Bless you all. Okay. Now I am sober. I've gained some hobbies back, self-love, fellowship. My anxiety and depression has lessened, and now I am marrying my best friend, Logan Dittman. Again, I want to thank God and all of you for this beautiful journey back, knowing it will continue gracefully. I hope this is inspiring and the Lord reaches to you through this. Thank you for listening. Praise God, everyone.
Don't go. Praise God.
This only comes through Christ, by the power of the Spirit. There's no other way. So what happened was she was no different than Pilate. What do I do with Jesus the Christ? In his regard, he sent him to the cross. But Elena embraced him in her heart, and she's been saved. Isn't that awesome? That's how it works. Amen. Now I got to tell you one more thing. So when I said to Elena, this guy that you want to marry is a believer. He loves Jesus. And I said, I know that you have been searching and looking at this idea, but he said, it's time to make that decision for Jesus. And so that's what happened when she said she went home and just cried and wept and gave her heart to the Lord. I assume that's when it happened. So biblically, that's what took place. You know, the Lord doesn't make mistakes either. And he wants us to be equally yoked, doesn't he? And what a beautiful thing. So with all of that said, the second time we met was just Wednesday. And I told her, well, you just flat made my day. This is amazing. And I'm just thinking what God has done in her life. And Logan, and I couldn't believe Logan wasn't down on the floor just worshiping God. This is amazing. So I said, well, when do you want to get married? And they said to me, Logan, I think, is thinking, well, I'm here, and he's thinking, is tonight too early? And he's like, when should we get married? And he said, well, the 23rd of August, that's my birthday. And Elena says, that's it, 23rd of August. That's the date. And so they're getting married the 23rd of August, I think, still, right? All right. But I want to tell you what I think is maybe the best. Elena stopped me and Logan right there. She did. I mean, she was taking authority. I'm thinking, whoa. I mean, Logan, she's got some authority here. We stopped, and she says, I do not want to get married until I'm baptized in water. That's the first thing I want to have happen. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So I thought, Elena, I told her, I said, there's no doubt in my mind you have been born again, because marriage is such an honorable and a wonderful thing, but you want to be baptized before you're married. And so we're going to baptize next Sunday morning in our morning service. And if you need to be baptized, this is an announcement again. If you need to be baptized, you want to be part, pass the word to others in the church if they haven't been baptized. Our baptismal will be ready, and we're going to baptize. All right? How many people say amen? Amen. Good. Praise the Lord.
Wait.
I just want you both to know I love you. Don't. No, whoa. I appreciate both of these kids. God is really doing an awesome work. Stretch your hands forward. Make contact here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Logan, and I thank you for Elena. I ask that, Lord God, that your hand be strong upon them. I pray that, Lord, they have no idea what you have purposed and fashioned for their lives. May their coming together now as believers and then together in marriage in the coming few in a few weeks, may it be something, Lord, that you will ordain into an awesome work in this generation. May you set them on holy fire and that they might be used for the kingdom and the glory of God. Father, I praise you. Lord, bless them, surround them with the love of God, and touch their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Love you both.
Give them a hand again.
Wow.
Praise God. So if you need to be baptized next Sunday morning, all right? If you need to get married, August 23rd, we'll take care of everything. I just want to remind you, don't lose sight of what I spoke to you. Pilate said, what do I do with Jesus? You were born to make that decision. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. If you have not made the right decision yet for Christ, today is your day. Today is your day. I'm not sure if I really am bow your head, close your eyes type guy all the time. I'm not sure if I'm really there. But what I am sure of is that the church is not critical and Jesus meets us every time at the altar. So therefore, if you need to give your heart to Jesus like Elena did this last week and you need to come to Christ, bar none, you've made the decision. You're not going another day without it. I want you to just rise and come up here and stand in the front. Just face the front, but come up and stand at this altar. Come right now. Don't be afraid. We have wonderful, gracious people that will gather with you and pray with you. Come now.